Hey friends, Coach Shelby and Coach Christine welcoming you in and letting you know it's time for brunch, where there is always an open table, a hot cup of coffee, and endless running fun to keep you moving and grooving. So it's that time, lace up those shoes, put a smile on your face, and let's log some miles, because we get to. And it's all about today reframing that we get to move, we get to do this. So for those of you who skip the stretches, Coach Christine, we get to stretch it out now. So we're going to start off strong with our jumping jacks in 3, 2, and 1. This is the first step in the stretching game, making that big X with our body, bringing our feet back together. I like keeping these stretches simple because at the end of the day, the simpler they are, the more likely everybody is to do them. And we all know jumping jacks. They're very manageable. Pretty much any fitness level can do them, and they are really a great full body movement. So we're gonna get our last few in here, and we're gonna transition into lunges in 3, 2, and 1. Gonna take our right foot, bring out in front of us, lunge down. We're gonna hold it here for just a second, and then we're gonna bring it up and switch to the left side. I like doing alternating more than focusing on one side versus the other, more because I feel like it sets up to have a stronger and more balanced run. I don't know if that's true. I haven't delved into the science. Christine probably has, but it makes a lot of sense if you think about it. So get our last few in here in 3, 2, and 1, and we're gonna go into squats. You know them, you love them. I always do them. Gonna squat it down. Again, checking those knees. Where are they in relation to your toes? You should still be able to see your toes when you're in that squat. If you wanna challenge these a little bit more and you don't wanna do full on air squats, you can also sit into the squat and pulse a little bit. Nothing too big. We're not gonna jump like a jackrabbit, but just a little pulse to feel that stretch. And just like that, we're done and going into our walk and warm up in 3, 2, and 1. You did it. You're here. I'm proud of you. Coach Christine, I didn't mean to call you out, but listen, we both know that you're still trying to get me on the journal train. So we're holding each other accountable.
We are. We talked actually a little bit about other ways that we're going to be holding each other accountable during our recordings, all in the quest of not changing who we are, but leveling up who we are so that we can really honor just that improvement in little tiny ways, which also our guest for today will be giving us some really great ways of doing that as well, all in the quest of feeling good, maybe even a little bit more than good. I think after I talk to her, I feel definitely quite a bit of like that extra pep in my step. So guys, we can't wait for her to come on. One thing that we took away from talking to our special guest for today that you guys are going to get to here in just a few beautiful moments is that it's really appreciating all of the unique gifts, abilities, and places that we are in lives. And by that, we mean clearly not physically like where you're at from a location standpoint, even though I'm not going to complain about that either, but just like where we're at and what season of life we're at. So one thing that I'm always fascinated is that in all of these conversations, we have discovered a lot of unique aspects of both of ourselves and our guests. And so we want to hear from you guys. We want to know what are some of the unique skills or maybe a unique gift or unique talent that you have. Dare we say, maybe it's even your party trick, like Coach has expressed to us as her party trick of naming all of the seven dwarves.
I'm still really proud about that.
And you should be, friend. It is not something that I think I'm going to personally endeavor on anytime soon, but I still think it's absolutely awesome. And it's something that brings you joy. It makes you smile. It puts a little pep in your step. So I love that as well. So friends, whether your skill is that you are a secret, like, I don't know, music festival shuffler, or you know how to dice a tomato in like, I don't know, 2 seconds, whatever it may be, we want to hear your unique skill. And there's just so many fun ones that come to mind, telling great stories or tying a tie. Do people know how to tie ties anymore?
I actually do. I tie my husband's ties. He doesn't know how to do it, but from my darker days in middle school when I wore my ties and my baggy chain pants, it's it's something I can do. And I have to ask, I know I'm going to put you on the spot, but do you have a unique skill that you can think of?
I literally don't think I do. I think that my...
You have one.
My superhero power, I know for a fact, is that I can see like everybody else's gifts. Like I feel like I can... like help people to discover their awesomeness. Like I really do believe that is my superhero power. And I'm sure other people may feel the same way, but I feel like extra about it. I'm just saying. I think if I had to, like a hard skill that I may have, it's gonna be so boring. I think I'm a really fast typer and a fast reader.
That's not boring. I think those are great skills.
Nobody's breaking out either of those inside of a party and be like, hey, watch me type. It's going to blow you away. But I do have I did earlier on in life, one of the things that I had to do was to kind of self-teach myself transcription from back in administrative days. So I am a pretty fast typer. And I think that I definitely am a speed reader. I wouldn't necessarily say that those are super exciting or unique or sexy skills. I like my superhero power a little bit more, but friends, it doesn't matter about mine. I want to hear about yours. What do you think are some of yours? Because you have so many up your sleeve.
Well, I hear like sexy skills. I'm like, yeah, Seven Dwarves really gets everybody fired up there.
At least it's a good party trick, like you said.
I've tried thinking about one. I do have a really weird talent that my sister and I used to do growing up. I don't think I can do it here because it will totally mess with the sound levels, but I might have to post a video on social media. But I can make music with like my hand curled up against my mouth. It sounds really weird, but I'll have to demonstrate.
Can we get a video of that maybe in an Instagram story? Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'll drop it in Instagram stories.
Okay. Okay. That sounds like a good idea because I'm a little scared that, like you said, here it could potentially hurt people's ears a little bit, but I can't wait to see this skill. Well, and I can't wait to see you guys' skill. So again, you got the newsletter. You should have seen that little call out to ask you guys. If you did not, go ahead and find us on Instagram or on social on Facebook, and we can share our graphic with you. We want to see you tag us at Time for Brunch Podcast and share that unique skill, unique talent, that superhero power. Because what you're going to hear for our very first segment with our very special guest is all about finding those small ways to love ourselves along the way and feel good and celebrate exactly where we're at right here and now. So we're going to take it into our first endurance block in 3, 2, and 1.
All right. As we get into this next endurance block, we welcome a special guest to the brunch table. All our guests are special. If you can't tell, we love all the guests we bring on. But this one in particular, we are very excited about. So I'm going to steal Coach Christine's thunder, and I'm going to introduce Shardé Rael of the Feel Good Naked podcast, the author of Seven Steps to Feel Good Naked. She is on a mission to challenge mainstream expectations about fitness, nutrition, body image, and, I mean, right? Did anybody not see that coming, that we were going to bring a complete strong woman on this show? No? Maybe not. Anyway, welcome on in, Shardé. We are so excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be on this side of the podcast with you guys and to see kind of the magic of how it works, the episodes that everyone hears. So thank you for having me.
Thank you.
We should have also built into that intro where Shardé also has the most magical, beautiful voice, where we are totally geeking out about the fact that it's like, are we entering into a meditative space during our run? So friends, while you're here in this endurance block, just go ahead and let yourself be lulled into some just really easy miles as you're rolling through there. Because again, Shardé, we just love how relaxing and zen you come across. We're making her blush.
Coach Christine,
we're gonna make her blush.
Coach Christine's just gonna be like, can we just record everything with Shardé?
Yeah.
And then that way we can just be very zen. But even though I will have to say, you're very zen with your voice. You're very relaxed, but the energy you bring at the same time energizes you, which I think is so, so special. But okay, we'll fangirl more, but let's give you a chance to actually talk and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself from your point of view.
Yeah, I feel this is always such a big question when I get it, because I want to, you know, you always want to relate to each person listening. You want them to feel something in your story. So I always kind of hesitate, you know, what point do I enter? Do I talk about when I was in the corporate world? Do I talk about when I was this teenager trying to find body confidence and acceptance? Do I talk about, you know, this journey now where kind of nomading around the world? And I find the place that I usually start is where I finally accepted my body. And that was a lot later in life than I thought it would be. So I was in my early to mid 20s, and I had spent most of my life feeling kind of outside, right? Like, I was an extremely athletic person once I became an adult, but as a kid I was not. And I think a lot of it was just trying to always fit into what everyone else around me looked like. So lots of smaller, thinner people. I have bigger hips. I know people can't see me, but, you know, I'm a little bit darker complected. And I always was just trying everything I could, especially with fitness and wellness, to fit in. And I think I told the two of you when you were on my show that I was trying so hard with running, especially. That was my thing. I was like, running is going to get me small. Running is going to get me accepted. And I was doing it for the wrong reasons. And when I had that injury and I couldn't run anymore was when I kind of reassessed everything. And that really began a long journey. So I kind of leave it to your questions from there because I could take the whole time here.
But I think that's a great way to start, and a really poignant portion that we stress to our runners is, even though running is a big part of our identity, making sure we have the interests outside and everything, which I think really a lot of that will be spoken to your presence here today. So reeling it all the way back, saying how you kind of tried to fit yourself into a certain space, what made you choose the wellness space as where you kind of wanted to carve your own identity?
It was almost accidental, but you know when you say things are accidental and you look back and you think, well, actually, that wasn't so random. It made sense when I looked at where I was. I think part of it was growing up, I was the least athletic person possible. I was the last person picked for gym teams. I would hide in the bathroom so I wouldn't have to go to gym class. I was just terrified because of I didn't have this athletic ability, and it reinforced how different I was from everyone. So when I started to get into fitness and wellness, it was almost like I can prove I can be one of them. I can prove I can do this. And so it wasn't enough for me to just be okay. I had to be the best. I had to be exceptional. And I really pushed myself extremely hard with weights, with running. So it became just a part of my life, a habit. But it was one of those almost toxic ones. And I've talked about this before, where I now, looking back, can say that I had orthorexia, where I had this obsession with fitness, this obsession with food. But I was praised for it because it's considered healthy by people, even though it was, you know, beyond. And I think the point at which I decided to heal from that, there was maybe 3 years between that point and when I started coaching. So I did take the time to change my journey, to really reflect on how I saw fitness before I started coaching others. So I was 27 when I started, and that's a bit older for the fitness world, I know. Like, most people start when they're, whatever, out of university. So it was a little bit different of a background. And I got into it by accident because I had left a really toxic job where I didn't have time to work out. I didn't have time to cook. I didn't have time to do anything. Mentally, I was exhausted there. My boss was, I don't like to say a horrific person, but he was close to that. And when I left, I just had this breakdown and I thought, how can I stay and take control of my health again? What can I do? Because I never want to be in this situation again where I'm so burned out, where I'm not living life, where I can't sleep, where I don't have energy. And that was when I started looking at wellness as a way for me to work, because I figured, if I'm in this space and I'm working and I'm coaching, then I have no choice but to also do it for myself. And that was kind of where I think, looking back, it was. But at the moment, it seemed random. I was like, let's start a boot camp.
I feel like if you're saying that you wanted to be able to start your story to be able to connect everybody, I'm like, are you talking specifically to me? Because everything that you just said just absolutely does get to the core of how I organically got into it. But let's not get into that. Just so yes, your story resonates very much. I do want to take it back a little bit, because you've already mentioned it's evolved from where you first started in the space. However, let's take it back to when you were a teen and you said that you didn't necessarily feel like you fit in. Because externally, I will tell you, us looking outside in, you are absolutely just flawless. You look amazing. So can you get into, because I think there's a little bit where we all get self-conscious, and I think it's good to get into that conversation about the fact that no matter where we're at, we could still feel not enough, and how maybe that intrigued you to start really doing the work to get you to the point where you went from not feeling not enough to more than enough, and helping women also come into their own of that space.
Yeah, that's a great point, because it's always this idea of you never see yourself the way other people see you. You just don't. And even having healed so much in this journey and finding, I would say now, body confidence. I mean, there's some days where I don't feel it as much. I can see it more now. And I think back and I think, wow, how did I not see that energy? How did I not see any of this? But I do feel also that it's a product of where you're raised and how similar or dissimilar people are around you. So for example, I was born in Florida, but I wasn't raised there. So I feel if I had been born in Florida near Miami, I would have felt totally different, because more people would have looked like me. My shape would have been more common. I probably would have been, you know, going on dates sooner. Not that that should have been a measure of beauty or acceptance, but it is when you're that age. Mm-hmm. And so because I grew up in the middle of the U.S., where no one looked like me, and at a time in our history where women were supposed to be, and I say that in quotes, super thin, super tall, very light, I did not feel that I was enough, that I was physically enough in that case. And it was also growing up with a different background. You know, I was raised just by my mom in a place where most people had happy families, or at least the appearance of it. So I think it was that combination. It was being born there, or being raised there rather, that changed everything for me. And it was only when I started to see more people like me, I started to travel, I went to school in DC, that I realized, okay, there's no one standard of beauty. There's no one standard of how you have to be, your body or your shape. And I could finally start to accept myself, but that was only after seeing other people. And this is also, you guys know, this is before Instagram, social media. You couldn't see it if you were in the middle of the country. It just wasn't visible. So I think it must be very different for people now, I'm hoping.
Well, thanks in part to accounts like yours, where people are hearing and getting that message spread to them. Because yes, I do think that I remember I grew up in the 90s, girl, and I think I was the only Latina at my school. So I completely understand where you're coming from in that. But what I find fascinating is that regardless if maybe you do look like everyone around you or you don't, there's always that feeling of not enoughness, because I know that I have friends on the other spectrum where they're like very thin and they feel like they're now don't meet the body centric standards of others. So where do you help? Because I know that's a very big passion of yours with everything that you do. How do you help women and your clients move forward in their own journey with loving where they're at and taking that wellness into us, like right here, if you're rolling through the run, we always are saying, we want you to do this run because you're feeling like your time is valuable for yourself, that you're investing in yourself. So how do you do that, Jarday?
I mean, that you've said exactly what it is. It's shifting the narrative of I'm doing fitness and wellness because I want to look different in the mirror, because I want to appear a certain way, forcing your shape into something, shaming yourself into something, to saying, nope, this is about my self-care time. This is about my longevity, you know, real health, lasting longer, being more mobile. And this is about empowerment. And the biggest thing I'm about always, because I started as a personal trainer before I did the podcast, wrote the book, all of it, is this idea that, and it's so interesting. I don't know if you guys ever read the history of fitness for women, but you look at how it started out where they were doing calisthenics and rings and things that women are only starting to go back to now, but no one was buying into the idea. until it was tied into, this can make you more beautiful for your husband. This can make you a better wife and mother. And then from that point on, which is the 1950s, it's this idea of, we work out to look good. And when you do that, you lose a little bit of the power of fitness and wellness, which is to feel amazing, to feel good, to feel connected to yourself. And so when I'm working with clients, it's about getting them back into fitness, but with a different intention, the intention of feeling the power of the movements, reconnecting with their bodies, seeing a different end than just, oh, this is going to get me 20 pounds lighter or 10 inches thinner, whatever it is. That's not the goal anymore. And the same shifts with food as well, where we're looking at, okay, we want to eat nutrient-dense foods sometimes. You don't have to do it all the time. And the choices you're making are not because it has the least calories, but because it's going to give you the energy to do more, to run more, to do those things. So a lot of it is actually more the mental undercurrent of fitness and nutrition than anything. And really shifting this idea of body image has nothing to do with how you look. It's everything to do with how you feel about yourself. And that's kind of unlearning a lot of lessons, a lot of toxic lessons.
Yes. I could cry like listening to this. Like I think about like 10-year-old me. And I'm just like, where was all of this when we were kids? Because like, you're right. It's now as adults, we're having to unlearn and shift so much toxicity, really, that we were fed. But like you said, it goes back decades, eras of do this so you're desirable for X, Y, and Z.
I think it's really hard to untie that. And now we have the complication of people saying things like, intuitive eating will help you lose weight. And it's kind of taking something which was about reconnecting with your body and again putting it in this idea of looking different. And I don't have anything against people doing that, but as a main goal, I just feel that it really steals your power. It takes away from you. It robs you. And when I would always listen to, because I worked with a lot of men as a personal trainer too in the beginning of my career, and they always talked about getting stronger. They always talked about doing more. They talked about doing events. They never said to me, I mean, occasionally maybe it would be, I want to get a little smaller, but it was not the main goal. And I just would see this contrast with the women I was working with and the men, and I just, it's the messaging that we're fed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I've said that when I coach a local youth group here for running, it is fascinating to see the differences between the boys and the girls. The boys, the minute they toe the line, they want to compete. They want to run as fast as they can. They want to be strong. The girls are kind of looking around for permission to see what the other girls are doing before they're willing to do so. I know a lot of that's biological. A lot of it is also conditioning. But I think that that is the game changer there, is when we start to flip the script of why am I doing this from a place of moving into strength or confidence versus trying to shrink ourselves, be it metaphorically or actually literally. I know you share so many great tips on your podcast. So again, I've mentioned to you that one of your podcasts, episodes I was listening to while I was running, and I started sending it to everyone. Like literally I'm on the run and I'm just sharing it to like all my friends, to a few clients that I feel like it resonates with. What is a common theme that you feel you're hearing most from women now? Like it's the beginning of the year. We hear a lot of that kind of like the same, that phrase that makes us a little bit kind of clench, that new year, new me. What is a common theme that you're hearing and how are you helping them kind of look at it differently? I think you had a really great episode recently too that we'll link here about long-term behavioral change.
It's both frustrating and I guess kind of inspiring to see what's happening because I see two camps. I see now more people who are open to this idea of let me choose a longer term goal. So for example, with running, they might say, okay, let me think about doing, a 10K. Let me think about that as a goal, as opposed to let me start running because I want to lose this weight. So I do see a lot more of that than when I first started 10 years ago almost. And that's inspiring. It makes me feel really happy. But I still do see people who are stuck in this idea of, okay, This is a time for me to completely transform physically, and when I transform physically, then mentally I'm going to feel good. Despite all the information out there, and it's almost like, you know, we were saying it's great that there's so many people out that can represent and spread a different message, but there's also so many people out there that can spread the toxicity. And when you see that again and again and again, it's hard because two is sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes you don't even realize the language that's there that is not encouraging or that's pushing someone to look more towards the mirror. So I see both. I really do see both. And I think it's difficult. But I've made the decision now that with anyone I coach, I will say to them, I need you to commit to not looking at the scale for a month. You just can't do it. If that's not something you can do, we cannot work together. Because to me, that means weight loss is still at the forefront of their mind and they're not ready to do any of the deeper work. As long as you're still focused on numbers as your primary goal, like, you cannot go deeper. And so I just wish that that would change. I don't know. I'm curious what you guys are finding too. Like, are people saying, I'm ready to run for the love of it, for how it makes me feel? Or are they still thinking more along the lines of how it will slim their waistline?
Both.
Yeah, I would say both. I find people who have been running for at least a little bit of time, I see more of them trying to do the work to embrace the love of the movement versus the love of the way the movement makes them look. But I personally, and I don't know if you're the same, Christine, but I do personally find people getting into running, it still is a very much physical appearance focused versus the mental benefits, the actual true health benefits of it than just a arbitrary number.
I'm going to take it a step further and say that yes, but I want to say I welcome people to still join in, even if that's their primary goal, because I think along the way, the transformation will happen. Because I know that along the way, if we go back to Sharday, your book, I love how it's 7 steps to feel good naked. That usually will translate to looking good. Let's be honest. And I don't mean in terms of others' beauty standards. You'll just look at yourself and be like, I look hella good today. A little hair flip there. But it comes from feeling good. And that's where I think that running or movement is where it comes into play. And that's, I don't know that, I mean, I would probably consider that one of the most vital steps, but I don't want to steal your thunder or anything, but I think you'll feel better if you can get into it. So if you have just joined in and you're just starting to get back into running, or you're considering running because you think that you need to lose weight, we want you to feel good. And I guarantee those endorphins are going to release and somewhere it'll start to click. I think there's also the concern that we have the other metrics too, where people get into their head about like the pace. Are they fast enough to be considered a runner and all that stuff? But Sharday, can you, without giving too much away of, you know, something that a tenet that you have, one of your steps or one of the things that maybe you prescribe to your clients, could you maybe tell us something that you instill in your daily habits that helps you on your journey to stay in that right mind frame where you feel good?
I love that question. It's beautiful. And I also want to say really quickly that thank you for doing that caveat about if your mission is still to look different and you're at the beginning of your journey, please be welcome. Yeah, it will shift. It's just to be aware that there is an evolution there, that doesn't have to be the stopping point. But in terms of feeling good, yeah, the one thing that I always do, and I started this because I had moved to the UK and I had followed my then partner, now husband, there. And I had given up everything to go there with him. My job, I had run a business in New York, I'd given that up. I didn't have friends there, I didn't have anything set. And I fell into this really deep depression, horrible depression. And there were days where I don't know if I brushed my hair, I don't know if I really put on real clothes. And that lasted for months. And I remember talking to my sister because she has much more this journey of self-development than I have. And I said, I don't know how I can do this anymore. Like, I just don't feel good at that in myself. And I don't know what to do anymore. I just don't know how to get out of this. And so she had said, you know, start with this morning routine. And I thought it was so silly because I was like, what is 10 minutes going to do? How is that going to transform anything in my life? It's not going to do anything. The rest of the whatever 12 hours I'm awake, I'm still going to feel this way. But I did it because she held me accountable. Like every morning she would message me, did you do it? Did you do it? So I would take 10 minutes in the beginning. Now the morning routine is almost 40. This is a few years later. And I would try to meditate. In the beginning, it was very hard. I would journal and I would stretch. So I was starting my day reconnecting with my body, reconnecting with my mind, and then also checking in with where I was at. And slowly that made a difference to the point of now it's been, I don't know how many years, I've skipped it 3 times. And this is even, I've done it on planes. I've done it in tiny closets. I've done it wherever I need to do, 3 a.m. And it makes all the difference because it's reminding yourself of you as an important person. It's letting you kind of purge all these negative thoughts that come up when we first wake up so you don't take them with you. And because you're moving, you have this immediate connection with your body and you think more about it throughout the day. So I noticed that I was more likely to make sure I ate. I was more likely to be careful about pushing myself too hard in a workout later. And it just transformed everything. So the one thing I say, and this is part of the self-care step in the 7 steps, is create a morning routine. Even if you think it's silly, even if you think it will never work, try it, stick with it. 3 months, every day you'll be amazed.
Oh, I love that. Well, first of all, Shelby, you know, she just spoke all of my love languages. I was going to say,
did you guys like coordinate beforehand? Because as soon as the journaling came out, I'm like, and there goes Christine. I'm like, she's done. Call it now.
And I feel like, yes, there's so much to it. So while my routine looks a little differently regarding journaling, because I actually am programmed to kind of wake up a little bit more bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, so I don't have the negative thoughts first in the morning. I do my journaling at night, whatever the case may be. I do have a morning routine, very simple one. It takes less than 5 minutes, but it literally transforms my entire day, which is to make my own bed. And goes back way back to my teenage days when I rebelled against my mother making me make my own bed. And her very pragmatic advice was, well, if you can't be bothered to make your own bed, then next time you go to the bathroom, then don't bother wiping. And I'm like, what? And she's like, it's the same principle. You're saying you don't want to make your bed because you're just going to get back in and mess it up again. And it sounds like it makes no sense because one's hygiene and one's not necessarily hygiene. But if you think about it, it's just all the things that we do are routines to help us feel as good as we possibly can. So making my bed is one thing that makes me feel good and kind of a little homage to her. Shardae, thank you for sharing that because that's such a beautiful routine. And we really do, both Coach Shelby and I are really big about that in terms of asking our athletes to consider all of those different aspects outside of their runs with stretching and self-care, meditation being so phenomenal as well. I'm curious too, with that making that big transformation and it kind of growing for you, what is one suggestion you would have for someone who is resistant to adding in a routine like that? Because I hear a lot of resistance sometimes on like how, like you, the same resistance you had, like how is this going to really change? Do you have any practical advice for somebody who may push back on that?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is people have this belief already that it won't work. And so it's very difficult to convince them that it will because it's already set in their mind that it's not. And then when they try it, they try the meditation, it's frustrating. They try journaling, nothing comes. They try to stretch, doesn't feel good. It's just reinforcing the belief that they already had. But even when they started that, that was going to already happen because they had this idea of, you know, the worth or the value of the routine. So the biggest thing I can say is find one small thing that you know you enjoy, something tiny. It can be drawing. It can be, I don't know, anything that just lets you feel good that you can do anywhere almost. Spend 5 minutes on that. You don't have to meditate. You don't have to journal. You don't have to stretch. But spend 5 minutes on something that you actually normally like doing. It could even be as simple as, you know, some people love the routine of making coffee, but they never have time for it. Do that. Again, try it for at least a month. And then tell us that you don't feel a difference. Because that is proof right there that when you do something that eases your mind or brings you into flow, that it transforms everything. You don't have to do a morning routine like us. You can do it totally different. But there's no way that if you spend 5 minutes on something you enjoy, that your day's not gonna be better. It's impossible. So that would be the thing that I would say. It can even be listening to a song, you know, that you love. But that's where I would start for anyone who doesn't believe.
I appreciate that a lot, though, because like as you guys were talking, I sat there and I'm like, I already hear all the parents out there, myself included, be like, how on earth am I going to have? And I have to take what you said and apply it back to like what I say about running and saying it doesn't have to look the same. But even like you said, pouring that cup of coffee and just sitting there and like building yourself up like, okay, I might not have 5 minutes, but like, let me take a minute and just sit and feel the warmth of my coffee, smell it in and just center yourself. Like I hear people saying like, okay, but it does make a difference because it brings your presence back to the moment. And like you said, it doesn't have to be the 40 minutes that you spend or looking exactly the same 5 minutes, but just something and latching onto it, kind of like a leech, like just hold on to it for dear life and don't let it go.
I mean, this is the thing. You just need like one input, because you think about all the inputs that come in your day that are not about you, that make you feel less than, that are stressful. You have to have one input to counter that, that is just for you. So if you can just do that, like you said, it doesn't need to be 5 minutes. I remember I had one point, I did this, I had a client that asked me to create a 3 minute routine for exercise because she's a mom, didn't have the time, you know, really young kids. And she said, 3 minutes is the time it takes to brew my tea. This is in the UK. So if you can come up with something I can do in 3 minutes while standing, listening, you know, waiting for my tea, then I can do that. And it worked. And today she's working out regularly, but she had to do those 3 minutes for a little while and it did make a difference. So I love, you know, what you said about that.
I want somebody to do that as a coach. Like that excites me. Let me give me that challenge. Like make my challenge your challenge, because it literally is challenge accepted. That really made me excited.
Shelby, I think that's like how you program all of your things. I see you. That you are like, now you're like, how am I shrinking my 10 minute routine into a 3 minute routine? I could see those wheels of spinning right here, right now.
What does that say about me as a human? That's my mindfulness moment, like right there. Like, let me maximize this time.
I love it. I love it. And with just a couple minutes left to go, I want to reiterate, friends. So the Feel Good Naked podcast has definitely been on repeat in my ears, because I think what we heard, Sharde, and I'm going to reiterate what you just said in case it was missed, maybe people were taking a good deep breath during that portion, was the one input that's just for you. And that's where I think your podcast comes into play. The Feel Good Naked, it allows you to hear this such positive information. Where we have so much static, so much coming at us from the minute we wake up in terms of scrolling through social media. So filling your cup with this really good input of positive and a lot of science-based, because you have so many great guests on your show as well that have so much great science-based research behind them to help with people, as we love to say, keeping those sustainable habits in the long run. I noticed it on your page, but of course we're going to use it because it's part of our pun as well. So check out Sharde on the podcast, friends. Tuesdays and Thursdays her episodes drop. Go over to her social media pages. You're everywhere. It looks like Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, all those places. And of course, find her book, which you can actually download as well on Audible and Amazon. So maybe when you need to tag on a little bit to your long run, you can listen on in. And with that, I want to see if you have any takeaway messages for our friends, Sharde.
This is the pressure. I always know this question's coming when I do podcasts. But I always feel, you know, it's like this, the shining light comes on you. What words of wisdom would you leave?
You've already dropped so many. So even if you don't drop anything else, we got you, girl. There's so much.
Just feel like all the above.
Yeah.
I guess if I can reference the podcast episode that we were talking about, Christine, a little bit earlier, which was the 1,000-minute plan, and this idea of you don't, and I know the pressure's a lot, especially at the beginning of the year, to transform quickly, and we want to get out of this pain. We don't want to stick in this discomfort, and we want to take radical big gestures because that feels like that will make the biggest transformation. And then when they don't work, we get frustrated. We think it's not for us. We leave it till the next year. So with that in mind, this idea of the 1,000-minute plan is take 15 minutes a day, Monday to Friday, to work on something that is your goal. So if that's running, maybe you run 15 minutes. Maybe you walk alternate days. Maybe you stretch. And you do that for just over 3 months, 14 weeks, and it adds up to 1,000 minutes. And at that point in time, you create a habit and you can start to expand and multiply and then have those really big goals after that. But to start with the really granular level, that's not sexy, maybe it's not exciting, but it is going to get you to the bigger stuff later on.
I love that. We'll link that in episode notes. It's episode 176. Absolutely. Just such a beautiful way of looking at it. Because I think everyone can say that they can commit to 15 minutes Monday through Friday. I mean, we're even giving you the weekends off, friends.
Just in time for brunch. I'm
yeah, exactly.
Grab a scone, grab a croissant, whatever you want on the weekend.
Sharday, as usual, you are such a bright light. Thank you so much for shining your light here with our athletes, our runners, friends. We know that you barely just scratched the surface of getting your Sharday fix. So head on over and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So I hope that got you guys energized because we're going to go into our next tempo push up in 3, 2, and 1. I love Sharday.
I could
literally talk to her and listen to her all day, every day. Like we fangirl over everybody. But I think again, it just goes to the fact that the people we bring on, they're not just guests to us. Like there's a specific reason why we're drawn to bring them here to the brunch table.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Really speaks to our own personal mission of why we wanted to move forward with brunch, what we really want to see it evolve into. And Sharday specifically, I think, is kind of almost one of those pillars of individuals where we can see her own evolution. And she's very transparent about it and how it continues to be such an inspiration to folks along the way. So yes, she's amazing. I can't tell you, I'm not kidding. Literally on the run, I was sending that particular episode, the one that we have in episode notes for you guys to all tune into. Because for me, it was so transformational in so many different things that we may want to do. So whether you're applying it to your running journey, your maybe you hate strength training and applying that towards strength training or training your core, or even no fitness related goals. Maybe it's more of work goals or going back to school goals or learning goals. There's 15 minutes a day. It's just so easy. I mean, it's one of those things where simple and easy are not the same thing, right? So it's simple.
Right.
It may not necessarily be easy. So I'm going to take that back. It's definitely not easy, but it's a simple way of approaching it. So friends,
I think that's why I buck up against easy pace, because it's like, all this stuff's hard.
Yeah, I could see that. It's weird though too, because it's all relative. So
right.
When we are first starting a run, had a conversation with actually a runner, an athlete who was frustrated because she went up a flight of stairs and she was like, it felt so hard. And I'm like, girl, I just ran like the most miles I've ever run this past week. And if I was to go up a flight of stairs right this very instant, it would probably feel hard. So it's just a matter of like, and I could get into the whole physiologically why that happens to us folks. I'm not going to bore you guys right here and now, but it's also a matter of just what feels relative to us at that time. So friends, you've got 30 more seconds here, and then we're going to bring it into our next endurance block, and we'll keep this conversation going because I think it's a very timely conversation to have as we're starting to approach the point of the year where maybe resolutions are starting to feel a little bit like they're waning if folks set resolutions, or maybe you didn't set a resolution, but you set an intention word and you're already feeling very tested on your intention word. I'm sure that Coach Shelby could give us a little bit of conversation about feeling tested on her word. But friends, we're going to take it back into our endurance block in 3, 2, and 1.
Why do you got to call me out like that? Because you know that I just messaged you yesterday and I'm like, I'm really semi-regretting my choosing the word resilience, because we are at this point not even a full month in, and I'd like a return refund, please, on my year of the words.
So there's a couple of things that I always keep. I always want to remind folks we're still not quite year. It's not the year of the rabbit yet, so we could always just celebrate a new year right around the corner. I'll have to look up when our new Asian year starts on the calendar. Or the fact is that too, and that's why I'm always so careful about that year, that intention word, is that when you finally feel like you're ready for that challenge, and you feel so ready for it that you're willing to put it out there externally, the universe is like, oh, I got you, girl.
Hold my beer. Even though I do have to say, it sucks right now. Like, the having to practice that resiliency does suck. There's no way I can say it doesn't. But I do, as much as I hate to admit it, feel like it's also what I need. So it's a twofold. But right now I'm just complaining because I don't have water and it stinks. But don't worry, I don't. I still get a shower. But with that, I think it goes to what Sharday said and what you had mentioned too about evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now we're having a turning point in societal pressures of setting goals, but allowing ourselves to evolve and not look at that as a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for myself, from when I started my running journey, my standard of beauty and what made me feel beautiful and what made me feel confident has vastly changed. And I don't know if you've had that same type of reaction or if you're looking at me like I have five heads.
Well, first I want, would you be willing, I mean, you're always very transparent about it, but could you give us more details about that specifically?
Yeah. So I think my relationship with external beauty has mm-hmm. definitely changed. I went from having all the makeup, having to be dressed all this looked perfect. It was color organized, stripes, didn't mix with polka dots and all of this stuff. I would never be sweaty and gross or whatever, to where I now really do feel the most beautiful after a run.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've said that before, but I don't care if I smell, which most of the time I do ask my husband. He always knows after I've gone for a run. But it's like, I don't care that I smell or that I'm sweaty or have a red face. Like, I truly feel my most beautiful. It's probably the endorphins that I get and just the confidence boost, even from a really bad run. And I would say that's probably some of my favorite time, when I'm bare bones, no frills or anything. And I still like putting on makeup after going a few years of being very no makeup. But the change I feel has come, and I've evolved from doing it, like Sharday said, for other people, and instead doing it for myself. Like, if I put on some eyeliner, it's because, you know what, I feel like I want some eyeliner on. Or if I want to have a non-athleisure wear athlete outfit on, I do it because I feel like it, not because I'm worried that somebody's going to judge me for the fact that I'm wearing yoga pants for the third day in a row.
So that's so interesting. You know, when it comes to people's judgment of us, I think we get into our own heads about that as more than people are actually going around judging us, or maybe that's just my opinion. I think people are so into their own head that they usually don't sit around passing judgment on whatever it is that we're doing quite as much as we would think. And maybe that's naive of me, or maybe that's part of the work that I've done, where I really honestly don't think that people are thinking about me that much, so it doesn't really matter. As far as how my journey has evolved in feeling good naked, part of it has to do with running. Part of it has to do with strength training. Part of it, most of it, I would say, has to do with a whole lot of non-sexy stuff where I did a lot of like the mental work. So lots and lots of journaling, lots and lots of reading or podcasts. I have changed the way that I consume media, what media I consume. And then I also do think, Sharday did mention it, and it's very true. I know this, and I'm very lucky in this, because culturally, curvier bodies in my, being Hispanic, are definitely usually applauded or normalized. So my body being curvier isn't such a weird thing. Now, where I came to kind of butt up against that was, again, being literally the first Hispanic girl to go to my elementary and middle school at that time in a very predominantly white area. So I guess there was a bit more of that having to fit in back then, growing up in the 90s and having Christina Aguilera with a super flat stomach, and, you know, super like low-waisted jeans was part of it too. But I think also it's just part of it is getting older and making choices that feel good when I'm making them. Like, fueling myself in a way that is integral with feeling my best. And sometimes that may be having a cookie and a glass of bubbly. And sometimes that may be having a really, really delicious, beautiful plated like meal.
And it's funny because you touched upon it, and so did Sharday, about not having like social media growing up. And I think it's both a blessing and a curse in a way, because we have the people like her who are putting such good out there. And then we have others who, unfortunately, aren't putting as much of the good out there. And how you talked about like how you grew up where not everybody looked like you. Sharday had a similar experience. And even though I grew up where mostly everybody around me was white, as I am, I was heavier, and I was not blonde hair, blue eyes, super thin, rocking the bikini on those Florida beaches like so many people I grew up with. So even though that's on the lighter end of the scale about not having to be against like cultural differences, it still is one of those things where I'm thankful for social media, because at least you can have a chance to see other cultures, other colors, other shapes and everything. You're not tied so heavily geographically to one section.
I do agree with that. I am curious, what do you feel have been some of the things that you've put into your life besides running that has helped you with shifting, feeling good about your body?
Oh, where do I begin? I mean, some just life experiences.
Yeah, girl, that's what like knowing the fact that you grew a human.
Yeah, and I will say, not to always pull the mom card, but after having a child, I feel like a lot of my, and pardon the language, but my give a damn kind of broke in a lot of aspects of what other people thought, because it didn't matter as much to me. I didn't almost have time to care about what other people's opinions and what other people's standards were. It's like, I'm trying to keep a tiny human alive and keeping myself on, like, you know, the sunnier side of things. So I'll check back with you later. And just eventually I stopped checking.
Yeah, I think that that's really important. We have to kind of at some point start to evolve past that caring about others. And I do believe that when you grow a tiny human and then are responsible with raising this human, and especially for you with a young woman, it is so important that you're making choices that you feel she can emulate in helping her feel as confident as possible. I love it too, and that this really is like near and dear to my heart, because you know I'm such a big fan about self-love and self-care, and I know you are as well. Obviously Sharday is. But there's just so many things that I think that we hear those buzz terms and they become really frustrating, because it's like, well, what happens when I don't feel this way? I think it's really important to say, you're not going to necessarily feel this way every single day. Sharday even said it. For the most part, she feels that way. She's worked on it. She's evolved her journey. I guarantee there's going to be days where you just don't feel your best. But having these habits that you instill and that you work on to help you move forward with it, even on that day that doesn't feel phenomenal, will help you get right back to it maybe the next day or the following day. So I think it's really important to look at it from that perspective as well.
Well, and when she was talking about the morning routine, well, I'm still trying to find that. I know that that's something that I actively do want to work on. I actually have now settled into a little routine, like our pre-recording routine. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about my dance moves, but like I come in to my office area, I turn on my salt lamp. I have a lavender room spray that I spray around me, and I either light a candle or I will sit with my beverage for a second and just kind of take it in. And it almost is my transition period between my everyday Shelby and my work Shelby. Mm-hmm. And granted, I say work lightly, because even though, yes, we do put a ton of work into this, I am lucky in the fact that recording with you, recording with our guests, it is fun. Mm-hmm. This is my time to let that creativity flow and let myself have that fun. And then we do all the business S talk after the fact.
Yeah, it is definitely an interesting one because we have blended our lives in so many different aspects. I mean, from the fact that like we test out our episodes on the run, which is usually probably prior to this would have been more of our time, and still finding a way to blend it so that we can maximize our days. But still, I do love that you're finding ways to make it authentic to you. And again, huge takeaway from our previous segment with Sharday is that fact too, where like, just like there's not one beauty standard across the world, there's not one size fits all way of making it work. So for me, I love journaling. Gosh, I literally wish that people would like start journaling upon graduation, like here, journal, because you need to get rid of these thoughts. But I think we've talked about the fact that you don't necessarily sit down and journal, but you have your blog, you have different ways where you do get out these thoughts that kind of go in through your mind. They just don't look like a traditional journal. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a traditional journal. So it's always going back to how does it work for you, and being very cognizant of that, just like our running. So friends, while we're rolling through this endurance block and we're talking about ways that we feel good and how our journeys evolved, we want you to do a head-to-toe check. But we've done this before and we're going to do it again because there's never enough self-love. While you're doing that head-to-toe check, maybe do a head-to-toe check where you're grateful for every aspect of that form that you have going into it. So lifting your head up, your chin up, to be proud of the fact that you laced up and showed up, loving the fact that you have strong arms that help to propel you forward or keep you balanced, loving that core. I'm right now giving my little pooch a little bit of love and patting it, because while it may not be a traditional six pack, it is strong and it keeps me injury free. So I love it for what it is and what it does for me. Loving those hips that are working super strong. And gosh, I don't know a runner who doesn't love their legs, to be honest, because if it wasn't for the fact that we have this ability to move forward, there's so much beauty in our movement of running. So all the way to your tippy toes, check in on those toes too, because they definitely need some love as well. Even if there's a black toenail or two, just means you've been working hard, my friend.
But really taking the time to be thankful. I mean, I know we talked about it in our quick bites about being thankful, but I've started incorporating that too after my runs of just like, thank you, body. Like, regardless if it did what I wanted, it is irrelevant because I'm able to move the way I want. And there's actually a kids show. Surprise, surprise, I'm quoting a kids show. And it's called Molly of Denali. And they bring it all back to the Native Alaskans and their tradition of thanking the land for providing for them. And I've really loved that sentiment and taken that and made it my own, not in a way to appropriate the culture in any means, but to take those ideals and relate it to my everyday life of thanking my body, thanking the fact that I can move how I want. And you had said before in our bucket list item about doing things while we can. Mm-hmm. And that's where I've kind of tried to take my mind and thank myself for just doing what I want at this moment in time, because at the end of the day, that's the biggest thing. The paces will come and go, but my ability to run is something I'm not taking for granted.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That of course speaks to my heart so much. We are so lucky right here and this very now, even if we're on the struggle bus, because let's be honest, that is part of the beauty of the journey of running. But friends, I'm also going to suggest that if you're thinking through, you're making an accounting of all the different ways maybe that you've evolved in your self-love or feeling good about yourself and your running, but I also want you to consider the fact that it's going to continue to evolve. So setting yourself up for what can I possibly do today, tomorrow, and the next day. And like Sharday said, just trying it out for about a month to see how it works. So just like running didn't feel naturally, I'm going to use one of Coach's most unfavorite terms talking about running. Didn't feel easy when you first started. It may not feel easier right now. It definitely gets, I guess, easier as we practice it through. That whole learning to feel good about ourselves is also something that I think will get easier the more you practice it. So I wonder, I mean, I'm trying to think what else kind of comes to mind that has helped me along the way. And knowing that a lot of it is preset, that I am kind of lucky and that I did have a rather healthy self thing. I think not comparing myself was a game changer for me. Like, I went on a really like strong mission to not compare myself for maybe a year or 2 years. And like that, I set that intention, and that really did change things around for me quite a bit.
I also think, and you've spoken to this point before about who you surround yourself with, and not in a malicious type of way, but looking at the groups you're surrounding yourself with, and are you surrounding yourself only with people who do pick themselves apart or compare themselves to other people or gossip or anything? And challenging yourself to surround yourself instead with the people that do uplift. Mm-hmm. And we said it with Sade and about with our other guests too, about the people we bring on. We are bringing them on to help elevate not only you as our listeners, us as people, but them and their mission, because that's the only way this whole universe works, is surrounding yourself with people who are like-minded and challenge you to keep bucking against the negative narratives that unfortunately do surround a lot of the social airwaves, whatever, however you want to classify it.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to also reference one more way that I think that you use quite a bit. I've seen you use it in quite a few of our groups. We've talked about it as well, like off when we're just texting back and forth, is finding ways to have some extra laughter in your life, right? So that's always a great way to bring yourself a little bit of extra joy and to feel good. So I'm going to try to find a comedy routine that I remember a while ago, where going back to Sade talking about when she worked with her personal training, and I talked a little bit about coaching younger athletes. It was a comedy bit about how men and women try on clothes differently, and how a man will go into a dressing room and he'll put on a shirt and he'll never say that it's because he's gained weight. He'll be like, that shirt doesn't fit me right. Versus women will be like, it's all my fault. My thighs don't fit to the jeans or the pants or the dress. So it was hilarious commentary, but so like mind-blowing also. But friends, that may be a really good simple way of you adding in a little extra self-care and self-love, is maybe Coach has definitely assigned it, I know, in now a couple of our groups that we've worked with, where they've had a 7-day laughter challenge. So if you're thinking, how do I start on this? I'm a little overwhelmed. I'm not going to freaking journal Coach Christine, so don't ever mention that ever again. Or, I'm already running and I still have a bazillion other things to do. It may be just as simple as adding in a little bit of like a 5-minute finding a Comedy Central or, I don't know, Netflix laughter YouTube channel and throwing it on when you're getting ready in the morning. So we'll have to, I want to hear from you guys though, if that's something that you use already and if it's something that you enjoy, but we'll definitely include that specific little comedy sketch as soon as I find it in episode notes as well.
You know, as soon as we get done recording, I'm going to be like, we should add that to our idea list of our premium podcast. That's a spoiler alert. That's something we're noodling. Probably should have saved that for later. But no, seriously, that would be so much fun. And I'm so down for it.
Oh my God. Yes, absolutely. So friends, with that, start getting ready. Do another head to toe check, because we are going into our 5-minute pushing the pace. Why? Because we can. That's what it's all about.
Because we're drunk with power and no one can tell us not to.
No, I'm not saying we, like you and I, we like the runner and us. Oh. We can. Oh. We can push our bodies a little bit harder. See, Coach Shelby, she's so sassy over there without water at her house.
But rub friends, that in.
You have the ability, you have that. Yeah, oomph. Let's take it up for just 5 minutes and we'll have a cool down on the other side in 3, 2, and 1. It doesn't have to be super fast. You don't have to go into your sprint. Actually, we're really hoping you don't go into a sprint. Maybe a comfortably hard, maybe more of a tempo pace. Maybe it looks more like a 10K race pace, but just pick it up for 5 minutes. And I know 5 minutes when you're going into it feels like a very long segment. But giving yourself about 90 seconds to find that groove. have that little bit of harder effort, because regardless of what your next segment may be, whether you pull it back into a cool down or you still have more miles to go, you'll find that when you go back into your endurance blocks, it will feel a little easier. You'll feel a little smoother. And here, while you're going a little faster, you get to work on your mechanics a little bit, your foot turnover, checking in again on that posture, keeping that chest nice and open, and working on bringing in that oxygen to fuel your muscles.
Man, somebody is spicy over there as well, because that was amazing. I'm sitting there, let's get it.
I have a lot of coffee. And I think I've been doing a lot of tempo recently, so that's probably part of it too. So friends, we are so excited though that you're pushing with us. Hopefully you're making that accounting of right here, right now, thinking this is what I do that makes me feel good every day. And that is wonderful. We love that aspect of running. That's why we both pursued moving forward with our own love of running, becoming coaches with brunch and all of that. But I think what you're going to hear us keep coming back to is finding other ways to help balance our running as well. So whether it is maybe incorporating 5 minutes of comedy routines or incorporating some journaling, there's so many different ways to add to that. But Coach, another one that you do that I love is your music breaks. And you have that on our Instagram. You have like a daily little music break for everyone.
I love music. It's just, I don't know. It's my type of meditation, I think, in a weird way, because it's easy. And I'm using the word easy. I'll make your heart happy, but it's easy. Like music, you can consume it in so many different facets. You can have a song stuck in your head and take a little break and sing it to yourself. We all have our phones on us, so use it for some good. Pull up one of our playlists and just jam out. I have a happy playlist on there. I have a Zen playlist. I have a Speed Matters to Everybody playlist. It's again, music is my journaling when I don't have a ton of musical ability. The drumming's one thing, but that's where it stops.
I think that's pretty amazing. So let's definitely not diminish the fact that you have that capability, because if you try to watch me try to clap along to a beat, you'll be like, yeah, I am a rock star. let's definitely not diminish that. That's absolutely awesome. And I think that's, again, it speaks to finding the unique ways that put a little extra pep in our step. So friends, you have 2 more minutes to get that pep in your step. So keeping that chin up, staying nice and proud, believing in yourself all the way through, knowing that we'll have that cool down on the other side with a little bit of coffee with the coaches, because we're going to break out a question that we recently addressed in our latest Pedals, Medals, and PRs spring training group, which actually I really enjoyed addressing that specific question. It's going to be harder here because that was a 45-minute segment and we're going to try to encapsulate it in 5 minutes, but we'll see what we can do.
Because why not? Between this question coming up and then still putting the finishing touches on our other workshops, I've been testing the what the F is for dinner with not having access to water as much, and definitely pulling from those inspirations that I've written down of how to make fueling and filling foods without having 15 million dishes.
Oh, so, I love that.
Again, we put all this out into the world, and apparently the universe is like, hey, Shelby, test it out before it goes live. Like, I know people can already sign up for it, but it's not here and now, right at this very moment of being applied. So it's just telling me, test it out. You got this.
Oh my gosh, I love that. So yeah, this one's coming up in March, friends, if you're curious about what the F is for dinner. And I love that you are going to have a real live, fully tested out options of what do you do when you even have water to wash the dishes? Because goodness gracious, talk about making it as easy as peasy as possible for yourself. That would definitely do the case. It's like, we've kind of chatted a little bit about it before. I really feel like you're getting into the entryway of camping. Like you're almost there.
Oh gosh. Don't tell my husband. He's going to be way too excited that we're even talking about the fact of me going camping.
Well, we're not going to push it, but we are going to push it to the end of this segment in 3, 2, and 1. Friends, find your way back into a nice, light, easy jog. Or if you're wrapping up with us, we're going to ask you to come back into a walk for 5 minutes, where we're going to do our coffee with the coaches. And the question and the topic at hand that we recently really uncovered and dug deep into was, how to measure your improvement and success without necessarily always going back to the traditional metrics of pace and or distance with running. And I think that this is the perfect question specifically for this episode, because we heard Chardé say that she'll tell her clients one of the first things that she wants them to not do is to not look at the scale. Because we're, as people, as humans, we're very metric focused in general. And we talked a little bit about it where some of our athletes may sometimes look at different metrics, not necessarily weight, but they'll get into their pace. They'll get into all of the things that their Garmin watch tells them, basically. And that's not always the end all be all of measuring your improvement. So Coach, you want to kick off maybe a couple of your favorites, and then I'll add in a couple of my favorites here. Because again, it was a 45-minute segment that we're going to try to do in 4 minutes.
I know, I'm trying to condense it down. And you know, in our other accountability groups, I've been very big into my challenge about running naked, which doesn't sound the same in this context. But if you've been in our groups, you know what I'm talking about. If not, stay tuned for when that comes back into its appearances. But my biggest way I like to measure improvement without a hard and fast metric is how I feel after my runs, as well as the next day. Because it's always a great way to test, if you took your easy runs easy. If you feel thrashed the next day, more than likely that is a great barometer to say you ran too hard. Mm-hmm. It's also a great way to gauge your consistency. If you're only running one day a week, every week, more than likely, you're going to be sore the next day because you're using those muscles that have been laying dormant for the rest of the time. So if you are running more consistently, your soreness and your fatigue generally, as well as physically, that's going to fade because your body's getting used to that load and that consistency level. So that's one that I always lean back into.
I love that one. It's one of my favorites as well. I encapsulate it as kind of almost more of a recovery time, but it sounds like you're making yours a little bit more overarching, a bigger umbrella of just basically of how do you feel? Is there soreness? Do you feel raring to go? Or did you feel more recovered? I think that's a great way to measure improvement. As you mentioned, as you go through it, you'll find that you can add in maybe a harder effort run without it feeling that same level of soreness that you may have felt earlier on to your training or your expansion of your journey. I think that one of the ways that I am going to go back to, it is metric related. So I'm going to almost be like, this is a weaning away process, because I think the first thing that runners do is they'll look at their pace as soon as they're done with their mile splits. So their pace and distance. So this is still metric related for you guys that are maybe trying to start weaning yourself off that pace and distance, but it will be more of a cadence and or a heart rate. Now, we heard from Coach Denny on our previous episode where he talked quite a bit about heart rate training. I think that's a wonderful episode we can reference for you guys that are more interested in it, and also cadence. Because I think that that's something maybe isn't necessarily, it's looked over a bit more for runners. And that is not necessarily going into fitting into the mold of maybe what the elites do or even what maybe other runners do, but seeing a gradual improvement of your cadence becoming a little bit faster or higher along the way. And I would say to also kind of use the 10% rule on that, looking to maybe increase your cadence by 10% over a specific training season. And making it just more of an average, where it's not necessarily you're trying to make it the 180 right out of the gate, but just trying to increase it nominally as you go through your training plan.
That's a great tip to do the 10% with that. I hadn't really thought about it that way, but man, are you a coach or something?
I mean, occasionally.
You're taking on athletes.
Occasionally I'll put on a coach hat. But with that, friends, we're about to wrap up this walk. So hopefully you have brought it back on down. I think this is the one that, Coach, you and I 100% always agree on right out of the gate. We say it, we preach it, we love it. You heard it throughout this entire episode and practically every single brunch, is how much enjoyment and joy you have. That is a great way to measure your improvement. If you're finding that you're leaving every workout or a little bit more often your workouts feeling, yeah, I really like that, I really feel good about that, it really is the best way to measure your improvement. And if you're not feeling it, that's a great time to really start checking in as to what can you do to make some changes to bring that love back. with that, Coach, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this up for folks. As hard as it may be, we don't want to say goodbye, but absolutely amazing work. Give yourself that high five. Make sure that you do rehydrate, you refuel with your Brunchtastic favorites while you're recovering and resetting for your next run. We're going to really, really, really appreciate it if you take the time to subscribe and rate Time for Brunch on Spotify or Apple. Share our podcast with others using the hashtag TFBrunch on social media, because we are aiming to continue to grow the community one brunch at a time. Don't forget to check out our Quick Bites edition, a light movement focused episode, about 20 to 30 minutes in length. It drops on Wednesdays. You could use it for a midday walk or a late night evening stroll if you need as well. And then we'll see you again when it's time for brunch. We're going to be serving up more miles with
a side of smiles.